WLS.
I don't think it means anything, Chris. I think they're cooking the books on this. People want to know the answer to that. They also want to know is once all this is said and done, what kind of insurance will those people actually have? Will they be able to keep the doctor that they want? How much more is it going to cost them? And we know that some of the best cancer hospitals in the country want very little to do with people that actually buy this insurance on the Obamacare exchanges.
And welcome back. You're on with Stephanie Trussell
and Laura Kelly.
Yes, we are talking about Obamacare this hour. And when is a deadline not a deadline is when you're dealing with Obamacare? But luckily, we don't have to try to figure this out, Laura. We are fortunate enough to be talking to C. Stephen Tucker. Steve, are you there?
Hi, ladies. How are
you? Hey, Stephen. How are you?
We're great. Good. A lot better after once we know that you're going to be on to explain how they're cooking the books and what the numbers are and how it, explain to me, because I'm no math major, but if your goal is 7 million people and you reach a goal of 6 million, how is that a victory?
Yeah. Well, we actually don't know that they actually have 6 million.
Right.
They haven't been able to verify that, but more importantly, they can verify how many have actually paid their premium. Mm-hmm. So enrolling is very much like, dropping a pair of shoes into the Amazon.com box and then paying for it later. So we don't have any information as to how many have actually paid their premium.
Okay.
But we can use the states as an example, because we can get some data, verifiable data, from states like Vermont and Maryland, where they have a state-based exchange. And Maryland is a perfect example. We've got 46% of their enrollees that haven't paid their premiums by the end of February, the last time that they checked. You've got Vermont, another state that has a state-based exchange, and only 36% of them have not paid their premium as well. So overall, about 1 in 5 people in those states has yet to actually pay a premium. So if we use that data across the whole nation, it could be as much as 1 million people that haven't paid their premiums yet.
And if they don't pay their premiums, are they covered or not covered? Do they think they're covered because they enrolled, but they didn't pay?
Yeah, well,
so,
well, pre-Obamacare, your policy would be canceled within 31 days if you didn't pay your premium. Now, the insurance companies like Blue Cross right here in Illinois are allowing people to pay their premium all the way back to January 1st, and they're forcing the carriers, the medical providers, to honor that insurance as if it was paid all the way back to January 1st. But there's an important issue here, and that is the new special enrollment periods are going to continue after tomorrow, because as you know, March 31st is the last day of open enrollment, or at least we thought it was.
Yeah.
We were assured by Kathleen Sebelius that indeed it would be.
Yes.
But now you can just simply check a box and say, well, I tried to get on and I couldn't get on, so they're going to give you till April 15th, maybe even farther, to enroll. But after that, you can literally, and I've seen this through the Blue Cross internal documents that come to us as brokers, that you can literally say that I didn't pay my premium for whatever reason. I didn't pay it for this month, so you have to give me my coverage back, even if I have outstanding claims outside that month where I didn't pay my premium. So the number of leeways here and outs are just astronomical, and it's shocking to me because the open enrollment period was set in place to prevent adverse selection. Now, if you let people jump on and off plans mm-hmm. just because they state they couldn't pay their premium, mm-hmm. we're going to have a lot more adverse selection.
And what happens to the insurance companies? I mean,
and the rates go up, of course.
Right.
Of course. You know, that's why they put open enrollments in place. So it wouldn't be like Romney's plan in Massachusetts where you could buy a plan whenever you want, right? So you'd buy mm-hmm. it before you go to the hospital. You get your treatment. As soon as you're out of the hospital, you cancel the policy because you can get it again the next month.
It's crazy. 312-591-8900. Jump on the line now. We're talking with Stephen Tucker about Obamacare. One of the questions, obviously, of that $6 million fuzzy number is that we still don't know how many people are healthy, how many people are paying, how many these numbers, they haven't told us how many people from the 6 million were actually uninsured, or did they just go from one insurance plan to another? All the math is extremely fuzzy, but I guess that's how that's how they keep people hopeful, by just throwing out numbers. And I couldn't believe how many people were posting victoriously that they had reached the $6 million number, and as if the 7 million number was never talked about or something. But again, that number is just a number that I don't know how anybody could actually have any kind of faith in it or believe that number could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they won't tell us the definitive numbers, the 6 million people, but we can use Illinois, for example, mm-hmm. since we're all here, right?
Right.
Illinois,
well,
what they were expecting, 600,000 people to enroll, and they've got about 300,000 by the end of February, but a vast majority of those are people who went on to Medicaid, which, as you know, Medicaid is the biggest line item on every state's budget, and we're massively expanding it with money we don't have. We don't have that money. We keep rolling over Medicaid debt from the year, from the prior year to the following year.
Right.
And we're going to have, by 2017, about $12 billion of unpaid Medicaid debt because of this expansion.
See, they keep saying and blaming the states that didn't want to participate with the Medicare. Don't they understand? And we're trying to explain that when you're promised something like assistance, eventually that would go away, and states could see down the path, see down the future, that if I take it now, later on, I won't have the money to support once the funding has been pooled.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and they entice these states by saying, well, hey, listen, under Obamacare for the first 2 years, we're going to increase the amount that Medicaid pays to doctors who still take it to be commensurate with what we reimburse to doctors who take Medicare, which is a higher rate of reimbursement. So that's going to be great. The problem is, after the first 2 years, guess who gets to pick up the tab for that big increase for all these doctors and providers? The state taxpayer.
This is a train wreck heading. I know. They just kicked the can down for 2 years. They took it. And some of these governors of states really knew that that was the case, and they weren't going to, they knew that the government was only going to fund it for 2 years, right? I mean, and they said, no, we're not doing it.
Well, we knew our governor, is no way he's going to go against
Obama. No, he's
Obama.
Never going to go
hook, line, and sinker,
right.
No matter what Obama is selling, he's going to go ahead and go for it. We actually have a clip from one of the shows this morning. Clip number five, we're going to, from Angus King. Are you ready? Could you go with that clip? Number five.
Look, I've been in all of those meetings and talking about it, and I've never seen a piece of legislation yet that was perfect. In fact, the United States Constitution, probably the most perfect piece of legislation ever devised by the mind of man, has been amended 27 times. I think it's time to try to fix it. And in fact, that's what the public wants. There's a recent poll on Kaiser Family Foundation, KFF.org, probably the gold standard of polls. What it says is, by 2-1, 59% to 29%, the people of America want us to fix this law, not repeal it.
I think that's wishful thinking, don't you?
Yeah, well, they could just ask a Democrat who outspent the Republican 4-1 in Florida how that turned out for her.
You know, and what's so interesting, there's two different groups of Democrats in Washington right now. The ones that are talking about, hey, let's fix it, and the ones that are saying, fix what? It's perfect. And that's what the problem is coming into November midterm elections. You're going to have to be on either one of those teams pretending like it's all great. We had a bumpy rollout, but it's working well now. We hit our number 6 million. And the other ones are saying, wait, because they know they have to go and face their constituents and,
exactly.
and saying, hey, I'm for the, you know, even our great mayor of Chicago, I say our, like I live here, but he's distancing himself from this by saying, hey, he asked my opinion. I told him not to do it, but he did it anyway. And that just shocks me that Rahm, his right hand man, would throw Obama under the bus like that.
Well, he wants to look smarter. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
It's confusing to me that Rahm would do that, since he was all for putting the public sector workers onto the Obamacare exchange and saving the state millions of dollars. Just put it on the federal taxpayer.
Well, it was there.
I don't know why he would do that.
Well, this is one of the largest campaigns to ram something that's so supposedly so great for us down our throats. Mm-hmm. When you've got Valerie Jarrett off to Hollywood wanting more people to support Obamacare by writing about it, by script writers and all the directors and producers and everybody. Hey, we all, she's quoted as saying, hey, they all need to do their share too, there to help promote Obamacare. And it's, to me, they're spending so much more time telling us how great it is instead of trying to address the issues. And maybe if they focus a little bit more on repair or fixing it, but I'm under my thought is that it cannot be, you know, repaired as it is. It would have to be repealed and replaced.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Stephen. I mean, I think that number 2-1, I don't believe that, but I'm just saying, can you really fix it or is it unfixable?
Wait, I'm sorry. We're up against the break. Hold, you're not going to go anywhere. We're going to come right back. We're heartbreak. We want to keep that.
We'll be right back, Stephen.
312-591-8900. Okay. Jump on the line. Don't go anywhere, anybody.
Now that's a big, you know, there's no such thing as Obamacare. You can't sign up for Obamacare. You sign up for an Anthem policy or an Aetna policy or a WellPoint policy. It's private insurance.
We're back. Stephanie Trussell, Laura Kelly. We're with C. Stephen Tucker talking all things Obamacare. And my question to him was, Angus King had just said that 2-1, people want it fix Obamacare and they don't want it replace it. And I just totally disagree with that and the numbers they're coming out with. But I just asked Stephen, is Obamacare fixable?
The problem with Obamacare is that eventually it's going to leave 31 million people still uninsured. So a program like that that was passed without any support from the opposing party is not fixable because you didn't involve both parties in crafting it. So number one, you're always going to have lingering resentment. But number two, any program that thinks it can change behavior, right, by forcing people to do something unconstitutionally is never going to succeed. This country was built by rebels, people who don't like to be told you have to do this or you have to do that. And forcing one to buy anything, private health insurance, you know, a car, anything, it's not going to work, most especially when the or is you pay 1% of your modified adjusted gross income. So either you obey and buy health insurance that we design, that we pile on mandates to, like, you know, abortifacient drugs, maternity, you know, all those things that we don't consider to be essential health benefits, thereby driving up the cost of health insurance, then say, hey, you can opt out if you just pay 1% of your modified adjusted gross income. And, oh, by the way, if you're self-employed, you'll never pay that because you design how you pay your taxes. And as long as you don't get a tax refund, you're never going to get the tax because that's the only power the IRS has left to collect the fine. There are no criminal penalties taken in public.
But the IRS has the bank accounts of people, right? Isn't that what they're asking for? So they can also, like, garnish it from your bank accounts if you're not paying?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the only people that have access to your bank account are the insurance companies when you buy the health insurance. And that's only if you authorize a debit, an automatic debit from your account.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
So
there's some, don't give them any ideas.
I know, I know.
They might actually try that.
I had heard that.
312-591-8900. And you said, Steve, that without any assistance from the other side, we didn't help construct this, the opposing party. But it's so interesting where there are Democrats that are distancing themselves from this. We have Mark Kirk sending out emails in support of it. And I guess that's just another, you know, nail in the coffin for him that, you know, he's sending out these emails. He's in support of it while everybody else is running from it. 312-591-8900. We have a caller on the line. Mike from Michigan, thank you very much for holding.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I had worked all my life, and I worked at a hospital, and I ended up with lung problems, and I ended up losing my job. Well, I lost my insurance a couple years ago, and I've been going to a local clinic here in town. I'm now on oxygen, and when I signed up for Obamacare through the Michigan Enrolls, they ended up giving me a insurance through Michigan Enrolls that now none of the people that I've been going to for the last 4 years in my oxygen company, all my bills are now I have to pay for by myself unless I transfer to a place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, I'm 22 miles away from the state line in Indiana. So that means I got to drive all the way to Grand Rapids, which is about a 2.5 hour drive to get my oxygen taken care of. The way it is right now, the oxygen company that carries me right now is about 3 miles away.
Wow.
So I don't know how anybody that can stand up there and tell me I'm getting better coverage under Obamacare than what I was getting as a non-insured person through my local community and tells me how this is so much better for me. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure, Stephen, you've heard stories like this where you're finding out that your doctor, your hospital, or the facilities that you use, like for oxygen, are suddenly
if
not
you like your doctor. You can keep your doctor.
My doctor that I've been to, I went to get my meds reimbursed refiled for my pharmacy, and they told me that they wouldn't even see me anymore because I was not on the insurance.
Oh, Mike, I'm so sorry.
And the last time here in Michigan, we had a big snowstorm, and I couldn't get my meds. I had to go to the local Myers. It cost me $70, and normally it cost me $35 for my meds from the place I was going because I had to go to a Myers. It cost me $70 for one dose of my medication.
Yours is just one of the many, many, many horror stories,
and
Mike.
Thank you for calling in, Mike.
We appreciate the call.
Again, I'm sure you've heard stories like that. I know that we like to believe some of the things that they're posting are the success stories, but for every success story, there's a story, one or two stories like Mike from Michigan, where suddenly you're traveling so much further than what you normally would do for the services that you were receiving and didn't have a problem with the plan that they now say is subpar. And this poor gentleman has to travel 2.5 hours for that.
Well, Stephen, the other thing that bothers me is they keep talking about the enrollment and how great everything is going. They keep saying it's going really great. Well, it is because they've put everything off for 2 or 3 years. Isn't that right? I mean, if everything was happening the way it was supposed to happen, wouldn't all hell be breaking loose right now?
Yes, it would be. They've delayed it 38 times. So whether that was made by Congress or made by the president unilaterally, it has been delayed that many times, and for one reason, for political expediency. If this law was passed the way that it was actually going to come to fruition, which means that if the president went out on the campaign trail and said, if you like your plan, you're not going to be able to keep it. If you like your doctor, there's no way you're going to keep your doctor. Most of you won't be able to. Do you think he would have been successful in passing the bill?
Of course not.
No, he
wouldn't
have been reelected.
To the American people,
right.
And he lied over and over again, knowing full well that these changes will be made. Even Ezra Klein, the policy wonk the left always points to, admitted on film that the president actually did tell a lie, that you could not keep your policy, and that he disrupted all of these people's insurance. Well, now we find out through a recent study that nearly 9 out of 10 of those people who are in that 6 million people who supposedly enrolled already had health insurance that they liked, and they were canceled. So how do you call that a success when you take away coverage from a man like him in Michigan, who now has to travel so far to see his doctor, when he was perfectly happy with the plan he did have? That is not a model for success.
And that's what this next election is all about. We have to control the language. We can't let them get away with saying, oh, the Republicans just oppose this just because it's Obamacare. And it's really not Obamacare. It's ACA. And the fact that they're trying to distance themselves from that name Obamacare. But it's his signature law. And I know the Republicans have voted over 50 times to, repeal it, and they make fun of that. But 38 times of him changing the law is just as laughable to me that,
it is.
What are we supporting? It's nothing like the original law that he said. And then, like you guys are saying, if they implemented it 100%, there was no way that the midterm election, we'd win everything because everyone they voted for would probably impeach him. Oh, for sure. There'd be blood in the street.
Because he lied.
Right.
I mean, it is treasonous
what he's done.
What's
a lie? He didn't know it at the time. And it seems to be the excuse that they make. He was trying. And, Democrats always get brownie points for intentions.
That's right.
They can miss the mark.
They aren't going to let this go, though.
Exactly. We have one caller on the
Stephen,
line.
Question for you?
Yeah. Ann from Oak Lawn. Thank you for calling, Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Hi. I'll try to make this fast. I won't give all the details. But in order to get some assistance from a certain agency, I was forced to sign up for or apply for Medicaid, even though I wasn't qualified. And I didn't like it because I'm opposed to Obamacare, and somehow I thought it might tie in. So yesterday I received a letter, and it said, here's your card. There was no card in it. But there was, information about the card. And I'm wondering if this man...
Stephen?
If he knows if this is a way to pad Obamacare. Because I think that somehow that is a way. And someone, oh, no, that would be illegal. They couldn't do that. But do you have any opinion on that? Do you know anything about it?
Yes, if you got a Medicaid card, that means that you were allowed that because of Obamacare, because Obamacare expanded Medicaid to people without children, so single adults. So the only reason you got that is because of the expansion of Medicaid. So that is a big part of Obamacare.
The letter without the card. There was no card in there.
Oh, so there was nothing inside. It said,
no,
here's your card. But
right. She had no card.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
There was no card in it saying, here is your card. And I just think there's something very funny going on. And it makes me very upset if I think that I am being applied to Obamacare.
Unfortunately, you are. Medicaid expansion is a large part of Obamacare. And unfortunately, Illinois, after the Supreme Court gave the states the option to not expand Medicaid, decided to do so. So that's how you got the coverage. Now, you don't need a card to access care.
Even though I don't qualify for Medicaid.
And
another thing real fast, I haven't heard anyone say, are there any numbers on how many people that signed up for this thing are being subsidized?
Well, that's a question. And we are running out of time, Stephen, and that's a question that you can ask by going to your website. Let everybody know how they can follow up with you.
That's truthaboutobamacare.com.
Great. Well, thank you once again. No one go anywhere. Right after the break, we're going to talk about Karen Lewis and what's all things education next.
Thank you so much, Stephen. We appreciate it.
312-591-8900. 89 WNJ.